My friends, in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. As we consider these words of God's prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter, the prophet writes, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to hear your word, to better understand your ways and your thoughts, that we may rejoice in them. We ask, O Lord, then, that you would open my mouth to speak your words, our hearts to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, there comes a point when you're so high that you are no longer high anymore. And I'm not talking about drug high, all right? I'm talking about high, you know. Maybe you heard that Nick Wallenda is planning a tightrope walk 50 stories above the Chicago River. Have you heard that yet? That's high. But higher still is the flight of the Ruppel's vulture, which can fly at heights of 37,000 feet, well higher than Mount Everest. But even higher than that was the parachute jump that Felix Baumgartner took from 128,000 feet up, 24 miles straight up. But there comes a point when you get so high above the earth that you're not really high anymore. Launch yourself into a spacecraft, and within minutes, you are going to be so high above the earth that you're not really high anymore. Now you're outside the earth. You're so much higher than the earth that you're no longer even pulled by the earth's gravity. You're no longer high. Now you're beyond. And if you keep going in your spacecraft, the earth becomes smaller and smaller until you go past Mars and Jupiter and Neptune and you can't even see the earth anymore. That's not high anymore. That is completely out of this world. And that perspective maybe gives you a tiny glimpse of the Lord's perspective on His creation. As the psalmist says in Psalm 113, "Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated high and looks far down on the heavens and on the earth?" Notice, God is seated so high that He does not just look down on the earth, but He looks down even on the heavens. The word high is just not high enough to express adequately God's position relative to His creation. He is so high above His creation that He is outside of it. He is beyond it. He transcends His creation. And yet, the prophet today invites us in verse 6 of chapter 55. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near." While He is near. The one whom even the highest heavens cannot contain is near. That's the promise. I read an interesting piece lately about why atheists and secular scientists look to the heavens in a nearly desperate attempt to find intelligent extraterrestrial life somewhere out there. Remember this little fella? E.T., phone home. Why are they so intent on finding extraterrestrial life, E.T.? You know, evolutionists believe that if life evolved here on the earth, it also had to evolve somewhere else among all the others of the billions of the planets that are out there in the universe. It is a mathematical certainty, they believe, that if it happened here, it had to happen somewhere else, and we are not alone in this vast cosmos. And in their purely secular worldview, finding that extraterrestrial life, especially intelligent life, is crucial to vindicating their belief in evolution and at the same time crushing this religious notion that life on earth is a unique creation. And so to find this life, they build their space telescopes and their antenna arrays in the SETI project, S-E-T-I, searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. I think that's what it stands for. And we spend all of those millions of dollars probing, listening, trying to communicate with E.T., and still we have not a single piece of evidence that there is any intelligent life out there. A man by the name of, a scientist by the name of Enrico Fermi, like the Fermi nuclear power plants, he was in a discussion about this topic once, and he said, "Where is everybody?" And for the evolutionists, this is a terrible problem. They even call it the Fermi paradox. If evolution is true, there has to be extraterrestrial life somewhere out there, and yet there's no sign of it anywhere. Thus the paradox. And yet they keep trying. But why? Why are they so fixated on finding extraterrestrial intelligence? Well, the author of the article that I was reading had a very interesting suggestion on what motivates them. That the search for ET is actually a spiritual search. Although they wouldn't say that. But in the ET, in extraterrestrial intelligence, they have placed their hopes that we are not alone in this vast cosmos. Just because Fermi and his ilk don't believe in God, that doesn't mean that they don't have spirits or spiritual needs or spiritual voids that need to be filled. And one of the spiritual voids that they apparently feel is this profound sense of cosmic loneliness. And they believe that if they can find E.T., that will fill that void for them. And then maybe also a more highly evolved alien race will teach us the answers to the big questions of life. Why we are here, what life means, how do we achieve peace and progress? And perhaps also alien medical technology will be so far advanced. Remember E.T.'s little glowing finger and how he could heal things? Maybe their technology will be so far advanced that they will hold the secrets to life and death and maybe even save us from having to die ever. In other words, do you see it? For someone who has a belief that there is no God, extraterrestrial life becomes a substitute for God to fulfill that void that is inside them, that for us is filled by God. You see, for us, knowing God means life does have meaning. We are at peace. And death has been conquered for us. And maybe best of all, knowing God means that we know we are not alone in this vast universe. For He has visited us, not in a UFO, but in the flesh and in the person of His only Son, and has redeemed us from our sins, and is with us always to the very end of this age. So when I look at the night sky, like I did this morning, and stepped out, beautiful. If you didn't see it, you really missed something. Beautiful moon, crescent, Orion, and the Big Dipper, and Scorpio, just bright stars in a dark night sky. When I look at that sky, I don't feel a sense of loneliness, that we are alone in this vast cosmos. But I feel a sense of wonder that the God who is higher than the highest heavens is as near to us as a brother. But friends, if God doesn't seem that near to you, maybe it's because His thoughts and His ways are so far above your thoughts and your ways. Listen again to the prophet. God says through His prophet, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." My ways are not your ways, he says. We have ways that are different from the Lord's, and that makes him seem very foreign and alien to us sometimes. For example, our way is to justify ourselves, to make excuses for our sins, or to think that we can somehow outweigh our sins with enough good deeds that God will be happy with us. But when we try to justify ourselves, we are dealing with God as if he is nothing more to us than this judge high up on his bench in his black robe, holding his gavel, ready to drop his gavel, and we have to figure out some way to make the judge, convince the judge, to rule in our favor. No wonder God seems so far away if you're trying to justify yourself for what you've done or said. Our way is to compare ourselves, to take comfort that we are not nearly as bad as those really bad sinners like the druggies and the prostitutes and the thieves. But when you deal with God that way, you are treating him as if he is nothing more to you than an old schoolmarm sitting up at the front of the classroom, grading all of us on a curve, and you never really are sure where you are on that curve. Oh, you may compare favorably to some of the worst, but honestly, there are a lot of others in the class who are a lot better than you. And you never know where you stand. No wonder God seems so far away to you if you're banking on a favorable comparison. Our thought is that perhaps we can grease God's palms. Give him what he wants so that he'll give us what we want, like we hear in so many churches these days. But when you deal with God that way, and then suddenly life takes a hard turn, maybe a loved one of yours dies, or the money gets tight, or you contract a terrible disease, then God comes off like this corrupt, sleazy politician who accepted your generous contributions for promised favors. But now that the going has gotten tough, he's gone back on his promises and he's left you hang out to dry. No wonder God seems so far away to you if you think that his favor is for sale. You know, maybe one of the problems that we have is that we haven't spent enough time in the scriptures, seeking the Lord while he may be found, so that we can better understand his thoughts and his ways. And if you don't know the Word of God, how are you supposed to know how to approach him? You don't know how he thinks, you don't know how he acts. So how do you know how to approach him, how to deal with him? And you're always going to be frustrated that his ways and his thoughts are not your ways and your thoughts. And you're going to come to me someday and you're going to say, Pastor, where is God in my suffering? And he's always going to seem distant to you and alien. But you see, God's thought really is quite simple. It really is. If you want to deal with him, if you want to approach him, if you want to pray to him, if you want to be accepted by him, it's simple. His word says it, you shall be holy, even as the Lord your God is holy. Don't try to justify yourself, you can't do that. Don't play the comparison game, you're not going to pass. Don't try to make deals for his favor, he's not dealing. The terms are simple, you shall be holy. That is his thought, that is his way, which I will grant you, perhaps makes him seem very distant to you. Very alien, because you can't be holy. But having said that, here is what sets our God apart from all other gods. Here is what makes him as high above us as the heavens are above the earth. Knowing that we cannot possibly rise to him on his terms, he instead lowers himself to us, and he comes down from the heights to make us holy in the forgiveness of our sins. Imagine that. The God who is as far above us as the heavens are higher than the earth came down, and he was incarnate of the Holy Spirit, of the Virgin Mary and made man. And taking on the form of a servant, he was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and purchased for us the forgiveness of the sins that makes us holy who trust in him. So the prophet appeals to you. Let him return to the Lord, that the Lord may have compassion on him. And to our God, that he may abundantly pardon. That's the way of our God. Do you get it? Do you understand it? That's the way of God. To abundantly pardon our attempts to justify ourselves. To abundantly pardon us when we compare ourselves favorably against others. To abundantly pardon us when we think that we can bargain with him for his favor. To pardon us abundantly for our inability to live up to his standard of holiness. And he is near. In Christ, the Lord is near to be present with us, to forgive us, to heal our loneliness, to strengthen us for life's journey, and then even to restore us to life forever as he always meant it to be. Though he is as high as the heavens, yet he is as near as a brother. And so, therefore, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Forsake your wicked ways and your unrighteous thoughts. And return to the Lord that he may have compassion on you and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.